Shores, El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And it's world-famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, taking you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so they don't, and they won't, and they shan't. And we're very happy to be with you, and this is our first live show of the week. We are this spring on Fox TV, Napoleon Dynamite, the new animated TV series, will be hitting the air, and Phil Henry, me, I'm a guest star, a guest voice, bud, you know.
Yeah, you're a guest voice on all of them.
Yes, I'm very, very proud to say that it worked out that way. So all six episodes of the animated version of Napoleon Dynamite, the much-loved, the beloved, the iconic, and the very cult hit, and more than that, Napoleon Dynamite film. And when we were down at the Comic-Con in San Diego over the summer, it was crazy, man. I mean, we went into that room.
Tell me about it. You never got on the air and talked about that.
Well, you know, it was heavy because I went in using a real hippie word, but I went in there and I was going to be the moderator on this thing, and I had all the actors there from the show. And the room was just packed solid with Napoleon Dynamite fans. I mean, people just, all kinds of fans, all kinds of people who love that show, and dressed up as the characters, you know.
Did people do that a lot?
Yeah, people do that a lot. People do that a lot. They dress up as the characters. And, you know, at Comic-Con, of course, everybody's dressing up as the characters of everything that they love. So, you know, there were cats dressed as Batman, you know.
Yeah, like a Spider-Man?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of Spider-Man. There's no question about that.
There was. You can well imagine the numbers of guys dressed as Spider-Man. Lots of Batman, lots of just everything, you know. And so when Napoleon Dynamite, we went to this big conference room there. And this was at the San Diego Convention Center. So you can imagine they have all these big rooms. And these rooms are for a variety of different things that that the conventions will hold. In these different rooms, we had these seminars, all kinds of seminars, different characters, different comic books, different films. And here we were in the Napoleon Dynamite room. And I'm telling you, man, the place was packed, you know.
Just was there like standing room only and everything?
Yeah, and it was standing room only, man. And I didn't look outside, but there must have been people outside. It was packed, and the people came up and they asked questions, and the fans did, and then they showed a clip of the TV show. Everyone responded great to that. All of the actors were there, and it was in a word, a big success. So we're finishing up what is called ADR, you know, where you're just throwing in this comment, you're throwing in a burp or a hi or a hello or a this or that, and that's what we're finishing up. And when that's done, the series is going to hit the air in January. And here are the actors that they have listed.
You there?
No, I'm not a regular on the series, you know. They should have all of the cast here. There's John Heder, and let's see, John Heder, Hilary Duff, John Grice, Aaron Rule, and Efren Ramirez. Now, I don't see Sandy or any of the other guys here. So, you know. But Hilary Duff. Now, is she like a regular or something?
Well, yeah. In a movie once she was.
Did you meet Hilary Duff?
Yeah, I met Hilary Duff. I met her in the first two episodes. You know.
You meet a lot of people on that show, don't you?
No, well, not on that show. I met a lot of people when I did King of the Hill. But when I was over there doing I told you I was doing ADR 2 weeks ago over there, and Danny DeVito was there, and, I saw this man, it's Danny DeVito, and he had this entourage of people, and then I saw him saying, hey, he's talking to somebody. It was that Heidi face. What's her name?
I don't know, that model?
Yeah, that Heidi Runway is the show,
Heidi Glum.
Not Heidi Glum, Heidi Klum.
Heidi Klum, yeah, thanks, Dan. Heidi Klum. And when I heard him saying, hey, he's talking to her, I thought maybe it was somebody else, but it was Heidi Klum. And everybody asked me, do I know who she is? I said, no. And
yeah, well, you were kidding, right?
No, I didn't really. Not really. But then, whatever, you know. These pockets of fans. All right, so anyway, welcome to our News and Information Hour, officially News and Information Hour. We had a wild night tonight. Very, very weird tonight. Especially talking about Santa Claus. And, you know, it's only going to get better, let me put it that way, as we get closer to Christmas. The whole, every year, it's the same thing. Is there a Santa Claus? Isn't there a Santa Claus? Then there's going to be, I'm sure Bobby Dooley will check in on the lights thing. Every year, the issues surrounding Christmas, the same. Have we yet had it? I'm waiting for it.
What?
I'm waiting for it. When's it going to happen?
You talking about like a Christmas tree?
No, I'm talking about, when are we going to hear from the atheists getting upset because there was a damn whatever, a manger scene someplace?
Yeah, they'll probably be pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. Pretty soon. I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet. Come on, baby. Come on out of the woodwork. Come on. Try and screw up everybody's Christmas with your horse dung. Go ahead. Next thing you know, I mean, I am surprised you guys have, like I said, are you really atheists or are you just anti-Christian? That's the big question. That's what you ought to ask any atheist that you meet. Now, I'm not a big Bible thumper. That's not my thing. But I am anti-bullcrap, see? I'm anti-bullcrap. I'm really anti-bullcrap. So in other words, what that means is this. Well, most people will say to you, oh, you're anti-bullcrap, so you don't buy into religion. No, I don't buy into atheism. I think that's the larger pile of bullcrap from religion. Because, as I've said many times on the show, it's more natural for humans to believe in spiritual things than it isn't. It's in our DNA. It goes back 50,000, 100,000, 200,000 years. The first human evolved 200,000 years ago. The first human beings, first Homo sapiens. Now, yes, the creatures that we came from, the so-called hominid family, goes back, what, 2-3 million years? I don't know. But the first Homo sapien...
You said homo.
Are you going to start with that?
No, man, you're not talking about a homo. You're talking about Homo sapien.
That's different.
Yeah, I know it's different. No kidding? You, every time I do that, bud, you're in, you said homo.
You did.
Okay. I'm not saying homo as in homo. I'm saying Homo sapien. God.
Well, you got to be careful to think that it's homo bashing or not homo bashing, but
homo bashing. Boy, you're good, man.
Gay blade.
Gay blade.
Gay blade bashing.
Gay blade bashing. What an idiot, man. Listen, look at you, man. You're all, you don't even know what you're saying. So anyway, when the homo, what do you call it? When the gay blade, first of all, no, I'm kidding. When the Homo sapien first came down the pike, because you had all these other apes. You had Homo erectus. Go ahead, make a joke out of that, bud.
No.
You're not going to make a joke out of that. You had you had Cro-Magnon. The Neanderthal, which coexisted with humans for thousands of years and were eventually run out of existence because the human was far superior at hunting, far superior at basically managing resources, and the Neanderthal just got left in the dust. Neanderthals died out. I suppose if we were modern people and we had Neanderthals, somebody somewhere would say something like, oh, you lousy genocidal bastards! You killed the Neanderthal!
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. We wouldn't have Neanderthals now. Neanderthals, it's a damn good thing that we're all cool, right? Right now, so you know how bitching we are? That we live now? Because I swear to God, you know, those people that lived back then were real pieces of crap, those humans back then. They're making everybody extinct. They're running the Neanderthals off the face of the earth. They're hogging all the good land. They're hogging all the good game. They're going out and they're... Well, those humans back then were nowhere near as cool as we are. They ran the Neanderthals right out of existence. So, along comes the humans. And Neanderthals, by the way, had some form of religious or spiritual belief, because even Neanderthals, even those relatively intelligent beings. They were, you know, they communicated as we did. They were not as tall. They were a little more substantial. They were shorter but broader. The skulls were a little bit bigger. Their brains were actually bigger. But Neanderthals did not have the inventiveness that humans had. They did not know how to, for instance, create fish hooks. So Neanderthals did not exploit water. They didn't fish. They didn't know anything really about stitching clothing. They wore a lot of animal skins, but couldn't. So they didn't quite have it together. But they did bury their dead, and they buried their dead with some of the dead person's favorite belongings. So that shows a sort of a belief in some kind of an afterlife or some spiritual. So do you understand, folks, that we're talking about a belief? We're talking about something that is in the human DNA and even in the Neanderthal. And by the way, humans, according to the most recent studies, humans, now I'm trying to think of what it is, we share something like 4% of our DNA with Neanderthals.
Well, that means a Neanderthal...
Yeah, like a caveman had got it on with a human.
Yeah, probably the Neanderthal raped a human lady or something.
Why would you say something like that, bud?
Neanderthals were all cavemen and stuff.
Why does it have to be the Neanderthals raped the human? Maybe the human raped the Neanderthal. Do you ever think of that?
Why would they do that, man? Neanderthal all caveman and all aped out and everything.
Yeah, the Neanderthal's fully aped.
What do you mean Neanderthals are fully aped? Neanderthal, in any event, I don't know, but that was the most recent. So we do have a little bit of Neanderthal DNA in all of us. There's a little bit of caveman in all of us. And having said that, we have, going back thousands and thousands and thousands of years, a DNA that is as old as the Neanderthal and the old humans, that definitely informs us as to a spirit world, because that's what those people believed. So I think that it's a little, I don't believe anybody when they tell me, I don't believe in God. No, I don't believe, you may intellectually, you like to, you know, amaze your friends with that kind of conversation, and I'm sure that it sounds really nice at a party, and but it you can't unwire your brain that fast. You have to have another tens of thousands of years unwiring your head. Now, there are people, I've had this conversation, saying, you know, Phil, you've heard of the Great Leap Forward. And there was, 50,000 years ago, humans took what is called the Great Leap Forward. We don't yet know why it took place, but suddenly, 50,000 years ago, art began to spring up on cave walls. And humans began to conceptualize symbol and symbols. And this is beyond just hunting and gathering and being a monkey and going around and, you know, eating and burping and farting and having babies. This is suddenly, this is going outside of oneself and seeing the world objectively and also subjectively. And so this is a big thing, the Great Leap Forward. And some people have said to me, well, how do you know not another Great Leap Forward is taking place? What's that? We all of a sudden we're not tuned into God anymore. Yeah, cool, except I would think that that would take place among the most intelligent of us, and that's who I am, and I haven't yet caught on to that, so sorry.
Yeah, I'm sure he probably said, no, you're not.
Well, the guy that I was talking to, of the two of us, yes, I was the more intelligent. Okay, we'll be right back with more here on the world-famous, well, I am, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, here in our News and Information Hour, as, what the hell were we talking about, apes? I don't know, we got into some ape talk there, man. We'll be back.
Truth.
We'll tie it all together,
bitch.
Man.
The Phil Woo! Hendry Show.
Compressed air.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, it's called the Indo-European language, okay?
What are you talking about? Jerry, you talk the same talk?
We have the same word and everything.
What we have, now listen to me. There was at one time a common language, Indo-European. When I say Indo-European, I'm talking about India, European, and the connection between India, the connection between Europe, the Aryan people, which we always think of as blonde and blue-eyed, and we forget that the Aryan people are of India as well. India was settled by Aryans from Europe.
But now they got tans.
Now they have tans. Now they have deep, rich tans, yes. Now, at one time, we had one language. The Indo-European language is the father, mother language of all languages. We all spoke the same language. Or we had the same symbols. And at some point, that language broke apart. Now, we are all familiar with the biblical story of the Tower of Babel.
That's probably what happened, right?
Well, if you'll forgive my heresy, I'm not saying that I don't, you know, I'm saying that that's the Bible's way of explaining the Tower of Babel, that all people were one, and suddenly we all started talking different languages, and that signified what a bunch of, you know, slobs we became. You know, there's different kind of mythologies for it. You know, I've often heard, you guys, you know, you don't know who Alan Watts is, do you?
Yeah, I know Alan Watts to play basketball.
No, he didn't play basketball. He's a philosopher. Alan Watts said that the human clock starts at 12, and the further away from 12 we get, the more split we became. We suddenly became tribes. Then we became nation states. Then we became nations. And then we became more and more split apart from each other until then we became individuals. And now, he says, we are sitting at 6 o'clock. In other words, we've come 6 hours, and the hand is pointing straight down. And we are at a point in our evolution where we are split within ourselves. We have profound psychological questioning. And that's kind of, there's a split inside of all of us, you know.
That sounds pretty hippie, though.
It may be hippie. But what he is saying is the good news is the hand is now swinging back up the clock toward the 12 again. And that means that we're beginning to integrate. We're reintegrating. We're getting it together a little bit. We're starting to get together an understanding. And finally, when you hit 12, you are fully integrated with God. That is the Alan Watts' philosophy, that you become, you return to God, you know.
You're dead.
No, you're not dead. I mean, I'm talking about culture, people, humans, you know. I don't know. But the point that I'm making here is, at one time, we did have a common language. That much is a fact. That is scientific as far as it can be. You see, science is a beautiful thing. Science does not say, oh, wait a minute, I can't believe that because I'm a Christian. That's not science. You don't, as a scientist, you don't say, oh, throw that out because I'm not allowed to believe that. You don't do that. As a scientist, you're all about truth. And the way you find that truth, as we've often said on the show, the empirical method being, you first disprove it. So in order to prove that there was at one time this Indo-European language, you got to go out and disprove it. You have to find ways to disprove that that ever happened. That's the most honest way of going about your scientific research.
Yeah, so what? So then we had that, and then we had a bunch of languages. What happened?
Somewhere along the line, all the languages started to split up. It was geographic in nature, and most of it's geographic because, you know, if my tribe is talking the same language as you, and then suddenly my tribe goes over those mountains over there, and now I'm gone, right? And now I'm just talking to my people. Well, what do you think's going to happen? I mean, the languages are going to be similar, but things are going to start to change. That's what happened, for instance, in the Germanic languages. They're like English, but they're different because our people went over the mountain and across a stream and...
What is them going over a mountain across a stream? What's that got to do with it?
I'm talking about moving someplace else, man. So you're not talking to people the same way. You're not talking to the same people. So languages change that way. Most of the reason why everything is as different as it is because of geography. A lot of people don't want to believe that. A lot of people want to say, well, there's violence because white people are violent, and the Indians are peaceful, and the African people believed in these really groovy religions, and the Chinese are Buddhist. And we want to believe that one race is, you know, we like to say we're not racist, but really, you know, all of us hold to these racist views where, look at how violent whites are, and look at how dumb blacks are, and look at how, you know, but the reason why everybody's so different, the reason why with so much, you know, weaponry in Europe is because it came about, we needed it. It just happened to be the geography. It happened to be the number of people who were over there, the geography, the fact there were a lot of tribes, and we had to fight. African people didn't grow up with the same thing because African people had a completely different environment, didn't need all of that weaponry. Same thing with Native Americans. Chinese did. Who do you think developed gunpowder?
China.
Chinese. Why? Probably because they, you know...
They needed fireworks.
Exactly. They needed fireworks. I don't know.
Yeah, that isn't why they did it.
Yeah, it is, man. All they did was fireworks.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, what you know, what exactly does your society need when suddenly you're inventing fireworks? You know, I thought they said that necessity is the mother of invention. I've got to have fireworks. I must have a Roman candle. What did they need?
They had the party.
They just had the party. Okay. Thank you, bud. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show will be back here on the Republicans and Rick Perry. Rick Perry's still running for president. You ready for that?
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Not that I want to keep going with this, but I just found a online here because I was talking to Dan about the genealogy project that was on National Geographic. He was watching it, and this is what I was telling people about. I said, I want to get involved in this. This is where they were taking swabs of saliva from people and sending it into their lab and tracking from the DNA they got from the individuals, people all over the world, you know.
What do you mean swab of saliva?
They stick a thing in your mouth and take out the spit.
Right, pretty much. And there's DNA in there, and they checked all of this DNA, and they tracked individual peoples, and they went to these people on the TV show, and they said, here, this is where your ancestors, and it showed that person's sort of DNA highway, if you will, or the migration highway of his ancestors that went back to Europe. And then in some cases, it'll go to Europe, and then it'll go to Asia, and then come back to Europe, and then back to Asia, until finally wound all the way down to East Africa, which is the origin of all Homo sapiens, Eastern Africa.
Are you kidding? Well, I thought that we were from Europe and stuff.
We are from Europe in the most recent, but originally all humans now, Homo sapiens, from East Africa. Now, this genographic project kit is available at the National Geographic store. I'm not getting any money for this. I mean, you know, I'm just telling you. If you want to do this, I probably would do it too.
Yeah, you don't know whether they're making it up or something. They'll probably send back something. Oh, yeah, you come from like a...
Yeah, they'll probably say you come from some Egyptian pharaoh or something.
Jeez, you guys are really suspicious. Yeah, that's right. National Geographic, one of the most respected names in all of,
Naked black people.
In all of naked black people, what do you mean naked? Get out of here. And you guys think they're running a con. Boy, oh boy, what cynics.
Well?
National Geographic. We had it in all the schools. We had it in our home. It was the one piece of literature that every home had that was remotely educational. And they have this marvelous genographic kit and this project, and you guys think they're running some street-side scam. Three-card Monty.
Never know. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. It's $99.95. I'm going to do it. I'll let you know how it was. I'll let you know if I get conned, okay?
Yeah, you ought to do it first before. I'm going to put some money in that.
Yeah, look, you guys got to quit being so cynical, okay? Genographic Project Participation Kit for U.S. and Canada. $99. Whew. Add to cart. Anyway, you send your spit in, and they tell you what planet you come from.
What if you find out you come from Mars?
That'd be fantastic if I come from Mars. Gingrich surges ahead in Republican race, NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Man, I never would have believed this in a million years. Newt Gingrich is the main man with the master plan. He's the man now. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich has taken a commanding lead in the race for the Republican presidential nomination, hitting the 40% mark for the first time in the campaign. What do you think killed Romney? I can't figure that out. Too slick? Not too Mormon? I know what it was. It was the fact that he had that health plan. The Republicans, just like the Democrats, only in differing ways, the Republicans are getting murdered by the extreme members of their party. Democrats, the same thing. All those activist, progressive jackballs that rallied to the aid of Obama when he needed it, and, you know, God bless him. And then he becomes president, and then he realizes that being president is more than just blowing up balloons and singing Obama's going to lead us. And he does stuff that they don't dig, and so they start making problems because, you know, he's not cool like they thought he was. And the same thing goes for these Republicans. They want to get some guy in there. These really activist right wingers want to get some guy in there who's a, I don't know, man. Some cat who is just right down the line, man. No, no health care, no this, no that, no this, no that, no this. So, all right, so they do. And the guy doesn't get elected because that's not the direction the country's going in. Oh, yeah, I know. They run the House of Representatives. Whoop. Or whatever they run. I know that they got that nailed. But what do you think has been done here, man? I mean, the country right now, and this is why I think Gingrich probably is a is maybe he's the good choice, because Gingrich is not so extreme as a lot of people think he is, but he still is ideologically acceptable to most people. So here he is. He's the first choice of 40% of Republican primary voters, compared with 23% support for Mitt Romney. But the survey also found deep unease with the Republicans' front runner among independents and swing voters who normally decide presidential elections. In a hypothetical contest with President Obama, Gingrich trails the Democratic incumbent by more than 10 percentage points, 40 to 51%, while Obama leads Romney by 2 percentage points. That's it right there. That's it. That's the image thing.
What?
Gingrich gives people the creeps. He gives a lot of people the creeps. Not a lot, you know, not enough whereby he's not a front runner. He gives those independents, which are not the extreme in either party, they're not the dyed-in-the-wool ideologues. He gives them the creeps because they identify him as pretty much, you know, a southern right-winger. And I say that with, I don't mean any, you know, but he's from Georgia, and I don't know, there's just certain prejudices, you know. According to the poll, a majority of Republican primary voters, 51%, view the field of candidates competing to challenge Obama in the 2012 race as average. And that's just about it. Average, baby. Only 21% of respondents believe the Republican field is strong, and 27% say it's weak. The remaining Republican candidates polled below 10%, with Texas Representative Ron Paul at 9, Minnesota Representative Michelle Bachmann at 8, Texas Governor Rick Perry at 6, former Utah Governor John Huntsman at 5, and former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum at 3. Boy, Perry, those debates didn't help him, obviously. And he was the man. And now he's trying to get a little heat by going anti-gay. Bad move, dude. Bad move. Nobody cares anymore. I mean, people don't want to go. It's just, forget it. The poll of 1,000 people, and it's funny how far the country's come. Just 10 years ago, here in the state of California, was that defensive marriage bullcrap, whatever that thing was. And now, 10 years later, the whole country is on the opposite side of that issue. The poll of 1,000 people was conducted December the 7th through the 11th, has an overall margin of 3.1%. What do you think?
I don't know.
Neither do I. But I wouldn't vote for Gingrich, and that's just me. I'm not trying to say that I know what I'm doing. I'm a voter. That means that I am what I am, you know? But I wouldn't vote for the guy. Number one, he's not going to win. And just as this poll indicated, Romney's got a better shot at beating Obama, if that's what you want to do. But you know what? I don't hear anybody coming up with anything better on the Republican side of things in terms of moving the country forward. See, here's the thing. Yes, we can cut all kinds of taxes. Yes, we can do that, quit the spending, everything. Now, the world out there continues to turn. The most latest and most recent piece of information, there's the Chinese out there running the Pacific Ocean. You know, that used to be our ocean. Now the Chinese, they got a military and a navy that kicks ass. And they are going to be saying here in the next 20 years, thank you very much. It's been nice seeing you out here, America. But guess what? We're going to run the old Pacific pond for a while. You just go ahead and back it up to Hawaii, Jack. Is that cool with you? If that's cool with you, maybe it's time for America, like Britain, to downsize a little bit in terms of our international posture, in terms of our international profile. Maybe it's time for the Chinese and the Russians, the BRIC countries, you know, Brazil and what's R?
I forget.
Rhodesia. And anyway, Russia, India, China. It's time for those countries to rule the roost. We got too much to, you know, there's too many bills to pay. So you can't pay all those bills and cut all those taxes and then tell me, which is what the Republicans are going to do, because I know it, because they've done it, and then tell me, but we're going to compete in the Pacific with the Russians. We can't let them outstrip us in terms of the name. Wait a second.
Oh, man, they say they're going to build more stand abreast of the Chinese.
Exactly. Don't tell me about how we can't spend any more money on this, that. We haven't got the money. We're broke. I know it's going to happen. Obama's saying it. You don't think the Republicans are going to let him get away with it, do you? Obama is saying everything that we got going on the table right now, I can assure you, it's not going to affect what's happening in the Pacific. We're not going to let the Chinese get away with that. We have a presence out there. That's our baby. And you can kiss my ass on Main Street at high noon. What do you think of that? The Pacific, the United States geopolitically has influence in the Pacific, bought and paid for with the blood of God knows how many thousands of Americans. Now the Chinese are going to say to us, you know, you guys are broke. You're flat on your ass. You can't do anything. Back it up to Hawaii. We're taking over. Now, doesn't make any difference to me, you understand? Because we can always enter into global alliances with God, you know, all kinds of people to offset the Chinese. However, I'm not going to hear that from Republicans. I know that. They're not going to tell me that. They're going to say the following thing. We're not going to let the Chinese get away with it. We're going to spend money. Oh, spend money on what? I thought we didn't have any. See, we ain't got any money, man, until it has to do... along comes some project that somebody likes, you know?
Yeah, well, they like Hannah... what do you call healthcare and everything?
Who?
Democrats.
Yeah, I know.
So old Republicans going to have defense.
Well, but the whole thing of it is what I'm saying is we don't have the money. Everybody's got their pet project. They say we haven't got any money, but then there comes along their pet project, and the Republicans are not going to let Obama, who already is kicking their ass when it comes to the national security question by virtue of the fact that he killed Osama bin Laden. That's pretty heavy. You can't start talking about how Obama doesn't know this, that, or anything else. He went out, he got this guy bin Laden when everybody else was running around with their thumb parked up their ass. So now comes Obama saying, and by the way, the Chinese are not going to muscle us out of the Pacific. We've got, we're going to keep on keeping on out there. And what are the Republicans going to say to that? No, we can't afford that. That's like a total about face. It's going to be very interesting, man. It's going to be very interesting. All right, we're going to come back. Where's that Rick Perry story?
Right here.
Yeah, I want to see this thing, man. And a couple of other stories we have for you here this evening on this Tuesday night. It's now Wednesday morning. It's garbage day. Take that trash out, bud.
Okay.
Don't grab my shirt. That's not funny. We'll be right back. World famous Phil. Don't grab him either.
I'm up for trash.
Truth.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Just a reminder there on Phil TV and HD, that is the map.
That's what a serial killer is.
Yes, that's where the serial killer has the dumping ground anyway. Jones Beach, Long Island. And anyway, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Each and every night here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And very gratefully yours, me, Phil Hendry. So we were looking there at the, what is it, bud?
You going to huff it?
No, I'm not going to huff it. Are you an idiot or something?
No, I wouldn't think you're going to huff it.
Because it'd be interesting to do for, like,
spit it out. Go ahead.
For research.
I ain't huffing duster, okay? I got a can here of blow-off.
Yeah, I'll bet it's blow-off.
This is It's blow-off. Every studio needs it, and my studio has blow-off. It's a duster, but no, I'm not going to huff it. You must be out of your mind. That's deadly. And it causes the most serious of injuries. And there are kids that have got no brain left. There's adults that got no brain left. That and paint. Can you believe there's people huffing that crap? Glade, you name it.
Gotta be desperate to get high.
Don't tell me you ain't tried it before. I know you have. I know you have. So don't give me that crap.
I've done that a long time.
Fine. Just don't be talking like you don't... That's the stupidest thing you could do. If I ever catch you doing it while you're working for me, I won't just fire you. I'll kick your ass. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just so you know that if I ever catch you doing that, you won't just be fired. I'll beat your ass, and then I'll leave you out there in the street.
Fine.
You're okay with that?
Well, no, I'm not going to do it.
Good. I'm sorry to have to talk to you like that, bud, but that's how strongly I feel about that stuff.
Yeah, I agree with him.
Okay, fine. I'm not going to do it.
Good, good. U.S. Safety Board urges cell phone ban for... I'm just kidding. I will. U.S. Safety Board urges cell phone ban for drivers. Get a load of that, man. You think they'll push that one through? A cell phone ban for drivers. How will we ever live? How will we ever get along without our cell phones? How? I don't know. Stop driving. A federal agency on Tuesday called... I don't give a damn whether I use that damn cell phone on the road. I'm using that cell phone all the time. Do I have to have it on in the car? I don't care. There's only one time I will use the cell phone in the car that I see a real need for the cell phone in the car, and that's if I'm going to be late for a meeting. Do you remember the days? I don't know if you guys remember the days. You had to stop and find a payphone. Oh, God, I got to stop and find a phone. I got to stop and find a payphone because I got to call because I'm going to be late.
Well, the idea is not be late.
Well, that's true. That is a very good point. So we made that adjustment. I would make that adjustment. So, well, look at it. I don't want to have to stop and find a payphone and call someone to tell them that I'm going to be late. I got a great idea. I'm not going to be late. A federal agency on Tuesday called for a ban on all cell phone use by drivers, the most far-reaching recommendation to date, saying its decision was based on a decade of investigation into distraction-related accidents, as well as growing concerns that powerful mobile devices are giving drivers even more reasons to look away from the road. Listen to this, folks. This is a federal agency called the National Transportation Safety Board, the NTSB. Hello. Those are the people that go in and investigate airliner accidents. When a plane crashes, that's the NTSB. That ain't the FAA. FAA's done, man. As part of its recommendations, the NTSB is urging states to ban drivers from using hands-free devices. Ban you from using hands-free devices, including wireless headsets. No state now outlaws such activity, but the board said that drivers face serious risks from talking on wireless headsets just as they do by taking a hand off the wheel to hold a phone to their ear. This is the NTSB recommending this. Now, how long do you think it'll be before Congress passes a federal, in other words, on federal highway, on interstates? And Deborah Hirschman, chairwoman of the NTSB, an independent federal agency responsible for promoting traffic safety and investigating accidents, said the concern was heightened by increasingly powerful phones that people can use to email, watch movies, and play games. Now, anybody that is playing games or emailing or what... is a mental midget if they're using that while they're driving. You're a mental midget. I don't give a damn if people think they're really good at it. You ever meet these people?
Yeah, my uncle thinks, hey, I know how to text and drive. That's for stupid people, not me.
Uh-huh. Famous last words. That'll be the last thing that guy's saying as his head goes through a windshield one night. Yeah, I can text while I... Uh-oh. You know, there's a gasoline tanker. Hello, Jane Mansfield.
She lost her head, man.
No, she didn't lose her head. It was her wig.
Yes, she did. Everybody said that's her head.
It wasn't her head. I know everyone said it was. It wasn't. It was the poor girl's wig. As if dying wasn't bad enough, they got to have Jane Mansfield's head rolling around out there. It wasn't a head. The agency based its recommendations on evidence from its investigation of numerous crashes in which electronic distraction was a major contributing factor. Ms. Hirschman said she understood that this recommendation would be unwelcome in some circles, given the number of drivers who talk and text, but she compared distracted driving to drunken driving and even smoking, which required wholesale cultural shifts to change behavior. So what they're saying here, folks, is they're getting us ready. They're getting for a federal law. Now, you understand that federal laws do have supremacy, but only on federal interstates, I believe. Only on, in other words, the U.S. interstate system. I don't think on a street. Well, if they say while driving anywhere, then while driving anywhere. So they're getting us ready for something that's it won't quite be like, you know, giving up cigarettes in bars, but it's going to be a, it'll be heavy because everybody's getting used to the fact that when they're driving, they're talking on that damn phone. Blah, 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 man. Anyway, it's going to be unpopular with some people. We're not here to win a popularity contest. We're here to do the right thing. This is a difficult recommendation, but it's the right recommendation, and it's time. The agency's recommendation is non-binding, meaning that states are not required to adopt such a ban, and it will likely be frowned upon by state lawmakers who are loath to infuriate constituents who have grown accustomed to use their... Well, so why not pass it as a federal law and make it effective on interstates? I don't know. There you have it, sports fans. The Phil Hendry Show for this Tuesday. Stay tuned for our... If you go to our website, we'll have our show log. And, of course, the Daily Bobby blog, Bobby Dooley's blog, will be up at our website, too, philhendryshow.com. Until tonight, this is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Grazie. Yoo-hoo! Hendry.